Everyone, especially the two of you, I don't know why. There's a special something for the two of you this morning. Father, we just want to worship you this morning. And we want to bow down our hearts at your throne. Lord, touch my lips with a call from the altar that I will speak as the Holy Spirit and you want me to speak, Lord. And that I will not do anything, speak anything out of the flesh. And that I will stay in your will and way. And that today there will be transformation and restoration in lives. And that nobody that came in here this morning will walk out the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the question is, why aren't there breakthroughs? Can you remember my other message that time when I was in severe back pain under the influence of morphine and all that just to stand up? And it was a huge attack on my life and on my body. And I was praying for a breakthrough. You know that breakthrough when it came? The 24th of December, I could start walking again. After I left here, I was basically in bed. We even went on holiday. The 16th, I couldn't drive. I was just laying in bed. But I had to wait for the breakthrough. And I found myself in this land of the in-between. And many of you sitting here, this land of in-between is that place of barrenness, that place of dryness, this place of hopelessness, that place of loneliness, that place of so much pain and despair, that place of this feeling of brokenness in relationship. And there's no breakthrough. Are you getting that as well, if it's only me? And maybe you sit here this morning and that's part of your life. And this place is a place of no breakthroughs, the land of the in-between. And this is the place also where we sometimes come and say to friends, to family, to even to God, that I can't go on anymore. I just give up. You know what? And that's sometimes a very good place to be. Because then God can start working because the flesh is out of the way. You see, this place of in-between is a place of no limits, no time limits. Because sometimes we want to put God in a box and we want to push Him and say, listen, but I need this tomorrow. But it's not God's time. But how do we get there? How do we come to a place of revival in this country? How do we come to a place of revival in our lives? Why doesn't we get the breakthrough? We pray. We have prayer meetings. There's prayer warriors going on the road now throughout the country. But why doesn't breakthrough come? Yes, and God has spoken to me almost a year ago about this in my own life, this place of barrenness. And if we can take an example in the Bible, it's there in Luke 1, verse 8 to 17. I'm not going to read it now. You can go read it in your own time. And this is where Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was busy in the temple. He was a priest and he was praying and he was busy bringing an offering of incense to God. Because, and I think he was praying every day because Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have any children. And they were, the Bible says, they really moved on in the years. They were quite old already. And that specific day, God appeared through an angel to Zechariah. And Zechariah's name means God remembered. And God suddenly told him that, I remember, I know your circumstances you're in. I am going to give you a son and you're going to call him John. And Elizabeth bore the baby, John. And her name means the promise of God. And John's name means grace. And this is what I want to speak as I'm going through the four pillars or the four altars today to pull that through. And I just want to put a chair here so I like to make things visible so that you see the chair the whole time. This chair, this, is the place of intimacy. That's the secluded place of the personal altar with God. So every time I'm going to refer to this chair, you will know this is the place of intimacy with God. You see, in this place of in-between, what is our focus? You see, that brings the change. Because when we focus, focus brings the truth. And truth wants adjustment. And we are people, we don't like adjustment. We don't like change. But unfortunately, when we start going to start focusing, it's going to bring adjustment in our life. We take Peter, for instance. He wanted to get out of the boat, walk on water. Jesus said, come. And he walked on water. And the next moment, he was sinking. Why? For a moment he lost focus and he focused on his circumstances and his surroundings of the winds and the high seas and he started sinking. Isn't that us? Do we also focus on our circumstances? Or do we focus on the promise that God says, which is Zacharias, Elizabeth's name, the promise of God, of His grace, and that He remembers us, and that He knows exactly what your position are that you are in this morning. He knows. Don't think for a moment that God doesn't know what you're going through. You see the disciples on the boat in the storm, same thing. They had the Savior, the King of Kings, on the boat with them, and they feared for the storm. For a moment they lost focus and they focused on the storms and not the authority and power and might that was in the boat with them. You see, Jesus never lost focus. He's the example of all examples. Before and after every great miracle, before and after, early in the morning and after and afternoon, where was Jesus? He was spending time in the presence of His Father on the mountain. He was there at the place, a secluded place, where he was in intimacy with the Father. Samuel carried the anointing oil to anoint David as king, and Jesus carried his cross. Neither of them lost focus of where their source of power was. They focused on the source of power. They were not distracted for one moment, and they carried out the calling and the mission that God has called them for in their life. You see, and for us to get there, there's four very important pillars. You see, we scream and we shout and we pray and we have big crusades for revival. Revival will not come unless we restore the four pillars in our lives. The first pillar I want to speak to you this morning about is the pillar of the personal altar. Where's your personal altar at home? What is an altar? You see, an altar is a place of sacrifice. It's that secluded place of intimacy with you and the Father. It's not the altar. It's not the place where you pray and hold hands with your wife. That is not the personal altar. You see, God needs you. He needs a personal relationship with you. Because we need to restore the personal altar before we can move over to the next altar. In Romans 12:1, dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies, listen to this, offer your bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. I want to tell you something this more. It's not about the altar. Many churches, many religions have altars, beautiful, millions of rands. It's not about the altar. What is your sacrifice you bring to the altar? That's what God is interested in this morning. What is your sacrifice this morning? And He wants us to bring our bodies, to offer our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve the Lord. You see, Jesus knew the level of His power and authority. The secret was in the time spent in intimacy with the Father. He knew that. He knew that. And that's why signs, miracles, and wonders followed Jesus. And He never had to run after the signs, miracles, and wonders that we sometimes do. You see, He was focused on the source of His power and not on His surroundings and His circumstances. He wasn't worried about what people said about Him. He wasn't worried what people did. He was focused on the calling on His life and the relationship, more than anything, the relationship with Father. And that's why I'm also part of the World Needs a Father movement, because we need to bring restoration in homes. We need to bring heaven back to homes. And one of those things is dads. Men, you don't have to be a father yet. You're an upcoming father. You're still young. Start now to build somewhere, a secluded place where you have your own personal altar, where you spend time with the Father, where you will have breakthroughs. There's no breakthroughs in our lives because we don't spend time with Him. But I want to warn you as well this morning. Many people, when they take on this word, they start and make promises, inner vows with themselves. They say, tomorrow morning I'm getting up at 4 o'clock and I'm going to pray until 6 o'clock. Doesn't matter what happens. And guess what? First day, he gets it. Second day, he can't get up. The third day, within a week or two, he falls into disappointment and anger. And he's ashamed and feels guilty. And God doesn't want that. Don't set the bar too high for yourself. Start with 5 minutes. But that 5 minutes, no cell phones. You are not worried or troubled. There's no, you know, we stay in cities, so it's tough to get a place that's very quiet, but a place where somebody knows they're not going to disturb you. That's the number one thing we need to do in our lives. You see, Jesus showed us. He said in Luke 6:12, in Mark 3:13, and then in Mark 1:35, they all say the same. They say, in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a secluded spot and prayed. That secluded can be on your bike, somewhere next to the road. It could be somewhere in your garage before you leave when nobody comes. It could be there in your little storeroom where you're busy with at your tool shed. It could be any place. It's not about the altar of the place. It's about your sacrifice, your time with Father God. You see, and I promise you this morning, if we're not going to restore our personal altars, we cannot move over to the next one, which is the family, the next one who's the church, the next one who's the city and the nation altars. We can't. There will be no breakthroughs. You see, because God says this morning, you have lost your focus. You've lost your focus. And that means you lost relationship with me. And that's why we struggle, because our level of authority and breakthrough over the enemy lies in the time we spend at our personal altar. And that's a promise from God this morning. That's a promise to us this morning. You see, because prayer, if we sometimes come and we come to this gorge, this big, deep, narrow valley, of rocky, it's a rocky places. We can't go over. Prayer is that bridge over the gorge. That will build the bridge over the gorge and take you to the other side. You say, because between the altar, your personal altar, and the porch is the public place where you need to touch lives, where you need to make an impact in society. The porch, that's where the priests, when they come from the altar, where they had personal time with the Father, with God, they moved out to the porch, and then they gave the message and they made an impact. He says, don't do that. First, touch me. First, have a relationship with me, intimacy, and then go to the porch. Because it's here, that in between where we are now. The altar is there, the porch is there. What is our decision? We have to walk back to our personal altar. Because it's at the porch where you will receive your scepter, your authority, and your rulership to rise up in the dominion of the kingdom of God. And each one of us has got a different calling. Not one of us has got the same calling. So start with 5 minutes in the morning. 5 minutes in the morning. We need to find that quiet, special place. So breakthrough at your altar will manifest in the lives of your children, your family, your city, and your nation. This is a promise. This is a promise from God. He says, focus on me as a source of your power. I need to return you to return to me so I can restore your personal altars this morning. Matthew 6:6, Jesus actually teaches us how to pray. He says, when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and go to the Father in secret. Why does he say in secret? Secret is not that it's this nichaimani. It's not that he's going to gossip. It's because it's secret. It's a secluded place where you're going to spend time with the Father. And that's where you're going to hear his voice. He's not always in the thunder. He's not in the lightning. He's not in the raging seas. He's there in the quietness. That's where you're going to hear his voice. Because when you do this, Father God says this morning, this is my promise to you in Exodus 25:22. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, at this altar, I will speak intimately with you of all which I will give you. With all that I will give you. God says, humble yourself, repent, restore your altar. Are you prepared this morning to repent? Or are everybody present here today? Say, listen, I'm 100% there. I've got a personal altar. I'm doing it. Father God says, this morning we have to do it. Are you ready to do it with me? Can we pray this morning? Can we kneel before the Father? Make a statement as a national order, a big statement this morning as the Bikers Church to say, Lord, we come this morning, because it's first about the repentance, the forgiveness from the Father, and then the breakthrough will come. And then if you say, Father, I'm going to spend 3-4 times this week, I'm going to take 10 minutes, then you do that and you keep with your 5 and 10 minutes. And as time progresses, it's like a boxer or a rugby player training. You will see, you will start getting into it. You see, God is still God. And he stays the almighty, powerful God without us. But without him, we are powerless and nothing. I don't want to be one of them. If you want to kneel, those who can't kneel, don't kneel. But don't you want to kneel this morning with me so that we can just come to this morning and say, Father, we want to start off first, because then we move on to the family altar. But we want to come this morning and repent. Are you ready with me? Can we do it? Let's kneel. Father, I can see excitement in heaven right now. I can see the angels rising. The shofar is playing. Lord, there's music in heaven this morning. You are excited for your children are bowing a knee before you, as it was done in all the centuries, Lord, where your people come and humble themselves and bow their knee before you, Lord, to come in repentance, to ask for forgiveness, Lord. We come this morning and say, Lord, we have failed you. We have failed our children. We have failed our families, Lord, because we have not spend enough time at the personal altar. But Lord, we come this morning, and each one of us, Lord, we're not coming to bargain. We come this morning in repentance and say, Lord, with this forgiveness from you, Lord, we want to rise up as prayer warriors, and we're going to start this week to restore our personal altars at home, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, so that we can have a personal relationship with you, Lord, in intimacy with you, Lord, where we can hear your voice and your commands, Lord, so that we can rise up as that prayer warriors that is needed in our families, in our churches, in our nations. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You see, now we can move over to the altar of the family. I say. You see, the family altar, we read there in Genesis 18, 19, for I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, so that he may answer their prayer. What is that? We should be that role models as fathers and mothers. We should move into that position, but we can only move into that position of authority that if we take up our personal altars to speak that command with our lives, not with words, by the way we're living, our children will follow. You see, like that story years, many, many years ago, I heard it. It's about this guy that was always going out to drink at night when his child was sleeping. It was snowy. Then he goes out for a nightcap, and he had some straw rum there in the mountains. And this one night, he couldn't believe it. There was his little boy standing, and his boy never saw him drinking. He was standing there in the door of the bar. And he said, how did you get out? He said, easy, Dad. I just followed in your footsteps. You see, and this is what our children sees. So where do we lead our children to? Do our children hear it at our personal altars in the morning? Do they hear Dad screaming for protection and for love and for abundance for his family? Do the children hear the father and the mother pray for protection of the whole family, for financial breakthrough, for their exams? Do they hear us? Or do we close the door and nobody hears? You see, our children need to hear us. Acts 2 verse 46. And remember now, the family altar has got nothing to do with church. One thing I want to say today, our churches look like they look as a result of the family altars. And that's why churches do not have a church altar anymore. And churches don't have a voice anymore, echoing and changing atmospheres. We don't have it because there's no personal and family altars. So Acts 2 verse 46, it says, and they, this is us, continuing daily with one accord in unity in the temple. And then listen to this, breaking bread from house to house. So here he says, yes, there's a place for the temple. There's a place for the church. There's a place for the body to gather together, the ecclesia. But there's also breaking of bread from house to house. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see, families is the most important stronghold and fortress in the front line. Listen to this. In the front line of the war against the enemy. Families, we are there. We are that soldiers that we should be, that brave soldiers right in the family. Families should stand together, and we are that fortress. You see, fathers and mothers, we need to create a safe haven, a safe place for the young and the next generation where they can feel safe. And that happens through the family altar. So restored and strong families will result into strong, restored, functional churches. We will see churches start rising up when the families are restored. But you see, we sit this morning and we're in this despair and in this barren place this morning. Now, it doesn't mean that this morning while you prayed, the barrenness is suddenly away. The pain, the sickness in your body is gone. But now you've got an altar. You've got authority this morning to go back to your personal altar and spend time with the Father and put everything at the feet of Jesus. You see, the third altar is the altar of the church. You see, ecclesia means assembly of citizens in a public place and in agreement where they are praying in alignment with heaven to declare the kingdom and dominion of God on this place. We are the kingdom. Where we move, we take the kingdom with. So we have to restore the kingdom of God as well. He's standing awaiting this morning, Father God, for us to come to our personal altar to get restoration. Matthew 18:18. He says, take this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, take this most seriously. Now, when Jesus says this, take it seriously. This is serious. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything, and you pray for anything on this earth, he said, to my Father will go into action. Wow, that's, but now comes the most awesome part of this verse, verse 18, the last part. He says, but where there's two or three of you asking in my name, Jesus' name, I will be there. Wow. So let's ask the Father, but in Jesus' name, he will join us right there where we are, in that place of barrenness where we maybe find ourselves. You see, this implies we have all the authority and power to enforce the kingdom of God in our lives. We are atmosphere changers. We are time shifters. Man, we can change anything. We can change anything in the workplace. We can change things in the government. We can change things in the municipalities. We can change it in boardrooms. We can change it in the nation. We can bring change. That's our authority that we can enforce down if we get together as churches. You see, it meaning two or more Christians can make an impact and bring change to that. Luke 13:20-21. He tried again. He says, how can I picture God's kingdom? How? He says, it's like yeast that a woman works into enough dough for two or three loaves of bread and waits while the dough raises. You see, discipling through our lives, through prayer. This is what's going to happen. Our prayers will become that yeast in the dough that's going to just raise. And sons and daughters will start raising up as loaves of bread. And people will feast and eat on the body of Christ. You see, this is God's command this morning to us. Where's your church altar? Where's your church altar? You see, if your personal altar has not been restored and your family altar is not in place, there can be no church altar. You see, there can't be a church altar where 5-6 of the leaders get together on a Sunday morning at a secluded place and pray. That's unity, but that's not enough. Where are we? We need to join. You see, that makes this church an altar for the God. A secluded, a place that will be holy. Holy means it's like a toothbrush. It's only one owner. It's set aside for God's purpose. So we need to get in that place where we restore the church's altar. And I want to promise you this morning, you will see the Spirit of God. You will see the hand of God start moving in this area. You will see the Bikers Church is going to turn the city upside down. Believe God this morning. He comes this morning with Zechariah's name to say that I remembered. And he comes with Elizabeth's name this morning and say that I promise. And with John's name, my grace is enough for you. But that we find at our personal altar. Then it comes to our city and nation. You see, now when we restore personal, the family, the church has now got restored families in. That makes it a healthy and a prosperous church in the spirit. Now we can move as a church towards our nation and our city altars. And we can make an impact and then shift atmospheres. Do not pray people away out of government. Pray that they will give their lives to Jesus. And that God will take up the throne, because this is what I'm going nowhere in this country. I'm telling you now, that's maybe why God brought me this message this morning. And that this nation will rise up. The Christians, the real Christians, newborn Christians in Jesus Christ will rise up. And God will take up the throne. He will take up leadership of the country. We don't need no man. We don't need any man to lead this country to God. God Himself is going to take control. But we need to restore the altars in our lives, in our families' lives, in our church, and our nation. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is the kingdom's strategy for the national altar to be restored. This is where it starts. With the three altars before and this. And Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He says, therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I command you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen. So God is asking this morning. He's asking a question this morning, as He's done in Ezekiel 22:30. He said, I looked for someone to defend the city, to protect it from my anger, as well to stop me from destroying it. And God says, this must be horrible, but I found none. Do God find in churches this morning men and women that will answer, yes, Lord, I am here. Use us. You see, if I have no personal altar, my family is not restored, I will not be able to rise up this morning with a church and make an altar to pray for this nation. See, when Solomon had finished playing, fire came from heaven and devoured the sacrifices and the offerings. Now, think for one thing, those who's maybe knowing farms, how big is an ox and how big is a sheep? Hoeveel weeg an ox? 500, 600 kilos. Because they were normally 2-3 years old. That's about 500 kilos. For God to listen, they had to bring a sacrifice to God of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. And after God, and they all bowed down. Nobody, the whole nation bowed down. But where was Solomon? He was in the temple at the personal altar praying. And then when the nation bowed down, God sent the fire, devoured all the sacrifices. You see, God is not going to devour you as a sacrifice, but He's going to come and devour this flesh this morning, and He's going to anoint you with a fresh part of impartation of the fire of His Holy Spirit this morning. The fire will come down this morning. If you are receiving, if you've got this restoration in your life, we don't have to bring all these oxen. You can imagine the amount of blood and guts all over that place, what it was smelled like, what they had to go through and sacrifice to get God to answer them. You see, they all bowed down. And this you can find there in 2 Chronicles 7. The whole part, there's 7. There, I think, from verse 1. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is for the nation. And I want to play a video. I'm not right now. I will ask you to get it ready so long. God says, my people must humble themselves, praying, seeking my face. But turn your backs on your wicked ways, and I'll be ready to hear you from heaven, to forgive your sins and restore your land. You see, God is going to bring restoration to our nation, but we will have to rise up to get restoration within ourselves, our families, our churches, our cities first, before God is going to touch this nation. You see, Solomon found himself in the porch, the place of in between, where he received the scepter. That scepter is authority. That scepter is rulership. That scepter gives you dominion in God's kingdom to speak. You see, and then you have the power to shout at the porch. Then we can shout at the gates of the city for protection. Then we can shout at the gates of the city for salvation. But we'll have to do it as a church and churches together. You see, it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 to 18, pray without ceasing. What is cease, man? Just onophoudelijk. We just have to pray. If the breakthrough is near, you go on and on until breakthrough is there. But see, we give up. We get to a place where we're tired. We can't go on anymore. And we stop praying. We don't. So stop. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he comes in Isaiah 2:2 and he said, I shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. There's a time coming. And I want to be part of that. You want to be part of that? You see, we found ourselves in barren places, a place that's dry, where nothing grows. Imagine this. This happened a few years ago, but this is the most amazing. I mean, this thing stirred my spirit so much when God showed this is what's going to happen for our country, starting with our personal altars, family altars, church altar, right into the nation altar. This is what God has got in His plan and His way and His will for this country. He says in Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, we are in this place of in-between in our country, place of chaos. The enemy is lighting up fires on the highway, closing down the highways. But God says we will remove that stones and the highways will be clear and will be called His highway. And God says, I will, listen to this, pour out water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, the place of barrenness. He said, I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings upon your descendants. You see? Can we play that video? And I just want you to imagine, this people haven't seen, I don't know for how many hundreds and hundreds of years, there was no water. It was a barren place with nothing. And suddenly, a river was born. Okay, Sarah? Isn't that amazing? This is what God promises for our country, for our nation. And this morning, I've written a declaration that I want to do with you. So can we all rise this morning? I don't know if after the declaration, the worship team can maybe move into place so long. Because we read there in Ezekiel 47, you can go and read it again about the water coming from underneath the threshold of the throne. And first it was ankle deep, then it was knee deep, and then waist deep, and then it was a rushing river that brought fear upon Ezekiel that he couldn't go in. I want to be in that place. So let's just raise our hands this morning, and you can just, as the Spirit leads you, just get in with the instruments, whatever, so that we can just let the Spirit just be free this morning. God says, I call you forward today to bring forth a great shaking in the atmosphere, Bikers Church. Arise as warriors for Christ at your personal altars. Be awakened to the sound of my voice and rise up. Manifest and release the power of my grace, my remembrance, and my promises. Your confessions and restoration this morning of your personal altar will be awakened by my voice, so you will release a new sound in the atmosphere, bringing about breakthroughs, crushing the gates of the enemy gates. our fear, the gates of fear, the gates of sickness, the gates of pain, the gates of destruction, the gates of violence, the gates of corruption, and the gates of death, Lord. Let us now this morning, Father, we have confessed for neglecting our personal altars. You've forgiven us for not commanding our households, our children, our families to follow you in your will and your way. God says, come closer and hear my heartbeat. I want to potter you with my love this morning. I want to tabernacle with you. Look through the eyes of my heart and see what you have become. My love was burned as a seal upon your heart where we have become one again. It is here, the Father says, where I want to empower you with a shout. You are my beloved sons and daughters, my most precious possession, my mighty warriors, more than overcomers, groundbreakers, and the lovers of my heart. Return, I say, return to your secret place. Return to that secluded place this morning at your personal altar. I will potter you in my love as your heart melts in mine, as we become one at the fire of your personal altar, Lord. Now I can set up for victory, as that, so that this consuming fire burn within us, Lord. A fire spreading fast by the wind of your Holy Spirit, igniting all the other altars of the family, the altar of the church, the altar of the city, and the altar of the nation. The burning flames of my fire will overshadow the flames of destruction. My fire will burn through you and become the builder of new restoration and transformation in families and cities and your nation. Come, let us worship our King with a new song. Let the sounds and words of our hearts become a prophetic melody to our Lord. Great is my God, King over my heart, greater than any noise and thunder. Great is my King, the King of my heart. I release unto you a new sound and melody of victory, blessings, and favor without any measure. We come and we declare this morning, Father, Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, that where you say, I will bless this thirsty land by sending streams of water. I will bless your descendants by giving them my spirit. Lord, 44, 4 says, they will spring up like grass or like willow trees near flowing streams. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We just want to go from the deep until the deep this morning. We just want to move, Lord, from stronger to stronger. We want to get onto the submarine of the Holy Spirit this morning and deep into the depths of the unknown. You must take us. Bring us new revelations. Lord, just open up this morning. We are lights that wants to shine. But Lord, our land is thirsty. We want to see. Let the water flow. Let the water flow. We are waiting on the water, Lord. We can see it, how the rivers are born. I can see how the streams of living water are coming from under the threshold of your temple, Lord. Just flowing over our country. Taking over this barren land, Lord. Taking over the territory of the enemy. We come this morning as gatekeepers, Lord. And we come and we command your blessing upon this area, upon this city, Lord. That there will not be destruction. The enemy will not rule here, Lord, because you have appointed us. You are giving us the scepter this morning. As rulers, to have the authority and victory and to be conquerors over the enemy of our lives. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we all say, Amen. Amen. Amen.